Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
Ahoy, mates. Welcome aboard another voyage of Pirate Money Radio, the show that sails against the storms of fiat currency, cultural confusion, and counterfeit ideas to chart a course toward liberty, security, and values built upon biblical truth. I'm your captain, Kevin Freeman, author of Pirate Money, coming to you from the heart of Texas. And today we're reviewing recent Supreme Court decisions from birthright citizenship and fairness in women's sports to executive accountability, Federal Reserve independence, and election-related rulings like mail-in ballots and campaign spending. These cases touch on the rule of law, created order, justice, economic stability, and we're going to cover them all through a lens that matters to families and faith. And I want to welcome my co-host, good friend, business partner for a number of years, and really the voice of Pirate Money Radio, because you've got that just deep, resonant voice, my good friend Mike Carter.
Well, it's great to be here today. After all the rulings that are happening out there, it was interesting to see. It looks like there's a lot of wins, a couple of setbacks. I'm like, how can that possibly be? So really interested today, Kevin, in getting your background now as a doctor of science, CFA, economist. What does this really mean? I saw some nice wins out there as it relates to balance of power and also and gender rights from a, yeah, there's a male and a female. That's a good thing. But then that one on birthright citizenship with all we talk about geopolitically and the fact that you can come over here and have a baby, go back to China for 30 years, and come back and vote, that's concerning to me.
There are some reasons to be concerned, and we're going to have a lively, truth-seeking conversation. But first, I want to thank one of our major sponsors. There are only three things you can do with your money. You can give it, spend it, or invest it. Here at Pirate Money Radio, we work to explain solutions to these problems that support all three areas, liberty, security, and value. Values. Patriot Mobile, it's a mobile phone company. It supports the Pirate Money Radio program. Patriot Mobile uses U.S. carriers, including AT&T, Verizon, and T-Mobile. It operates on Apple and Android phones. If you want more information about the Economic War Room or Patriot Mobile, it's available at piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. That's piratemoneyradio.com/AFR. Well, Mike, I know these recent Supreme Court rulings, they're troubling, they're exciting, they're scary, and it's like they're coming in one at a time. Yay! No! Yay! No!
Well, birthright citizenship, that's one that was kind of top of mind because I saw that as being such a big threat to our country. And, you know, the TV pundits out there were like, oh, there's no way it's going to happen, no way. And then someone's like, well, there's a chance. And, you know, look at the final vote, there really was. But it was such a disappointment to see Justice Amy Coney Barrett, come out against it. What are your thoughts? What was driving that?
So let's birthright citizenship is one of only two nations in the world that says if you're born on our soil, you are a citizen. Doesn't matter how you got here, doesn't matter what's going on at the time, with very few exceptions. One of the exceptions is if you're an ambassador to a foreign country and you happen to be here representing that country and you're born here, oh, no, that's not a citizen. And so we're pretty clear on that. Other countries have used to have this born from the soil kind of thing, and they gave it up. They said, that doesn't make sense. It made sense in England. It made sense when you were a subject of the king, and so somebody travels to your country and they have a baby. Well, you're one of my subjects. I'm not one of your subjects. You were born on my land. You're one of my subjects. It's been flipped now to say you're born on this land. You have all the rights and privileges.
Yeah.
I personally find this one of the most offensive decisions based on my native background. It's really, truly a racist decision. Nobody understands. Birthright citizenship is a good thing. If you're born to American parents, then you should be a citizen. If you're born to people who are here legally, they came here legally and we've granted them a visa and they're here and they've got permanent residence, I'm good with that. You can be a citizen. I've got friends that are in that circumstance. But just because you crossed the border for 10 minutes or flew a plane over United States territory or happened to book a room at the Hyatt Regency that happens to have, you know, birth. No, you should not automatically be able to enter the U.S. legally or illegally, temporarily, have a baby, and then claim it's a citizen forever.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it defies logic to me. I mean, just fly in, have a baby, get all the benefits of being an American citizen, and, oh, yeah, I'm going to keep my Chinese citizenship, too. It doesn't make sense. I saw Babylon Bee. They had something where a baby was born halfway across the border, so only the top was a citizen, the other one wasn't. You know.
Yeah, though that reminds me of our chaplain, Keith Green, who was born in a hospital at Texarkana, and the birthing room that he was put into, his mother was put into where he was born, was on the Arkansas side of the border. Yeah. And so he's an Arkansan instead of a Texan. There's no more Texas person. There's no more Texan than Keith, right? He's as Texan as it gets. But you know, he was born on the wrong side. This is ridiculous ruling. It is based on a very, very, very bad case. And I think the Trump administration, I think their lawyers picked up the Elk case. It's called Elk versus Wilkins in 1884. And they tried to use that to support them. And they should have used that as the case in point of what's wrong with birthright citizenship. They used it backwards. So Elk versus Wilkins, 1884, was basically Mr. Elk was a Native American. He was born in the tribal lands. He left the tribal lands, grew up, said, look, I want to be an American. He left the tribe, went and lived among other people two states away, paid his taxes, went to church, acted as American as anybody else. And you'd say, oh, yeah, he's an American. Went to vote. And they said, oh, you can't vote. You're not a citizen. He said, what do you mean I'm not a citizen? No. You have, because the original 14th Amendment, as we have it today, the 14th Amendment says that if you're born here and subject to the authority here, then you're a citizen. He said, look, I'm subject to the authority. I'm living in the white man's world. I'm subject to your authority. And they said, no, you have competitive authority. You also belong to the tribe, and therefore you're not purely American. And so they denied it. Now, they gave, in the Chinese case, also, they gave, and they said, look, you're here from permanent residence, you're here and you're planning to live in America forever and you've moved here. So they gave the Chinese individual American citizenship, but the Native American they said no to. What that case meant was that, gosh, my grandfather was born in Oklahoma in 1908. He wasn't declared an American citizen until 1924, 16 years later. Basically, they said Native Americans are an underclass. I can tell you they were subject to the jurisdiction thereof more than any other people in America at the time. They were considered wards of the nation. There wasn't a decision, tribal decision made that the U.S. federal government didn't have to approve. They gave them land, took land away. So this Supreme Court decision, which they rested in part on that Elk versus Wilkins case, is a flawed decision. It needs to be relooked as soon as it can be relooked, and we should be doing everything we can to prevent the Chinese government and others from gaming our system to raise up what Peter Schweitzer says is a Manchurian generation.
Yeah.
Maybe a million people that are born as Americans under this flawed ruling and will be able to vote starting in the year 2030.
So we're back to, is there a path to correct this? They talk about a constitutional amendment, even a possibility?
Yeah, a constitutional amendment is not likely, but we could have Congress pass a ruling and says, this is what it means to be subject to the jurisdiction thereof. And they could say, it means that you have to be this and this and this. Born here, you have to be living under U.S. authority. You can't have Chinese citizenship. You can't have been here for 10 minutes and gone home. They could set rules as to what that is at Congress, and the Supreme Court would take that. But I want to make this very personal to you. Do you know the reason our house prices went up so crazy? Do you want to know why the rents went up so crazy? It is because of illegal immigration, allowed under the Biden administration. And that's not, you know, some right-wing thing. That is said by the Federal Reserve Bank of Dallas, did a full formal study, the impacts of unauthorized immigration on U.S. labor and housing markets. And the reason that your house prices and rent prices went up so crazy is because we let so many people illegally come across the border. Now, why do they do it? They want to get here so they can have a baby, and then it becomes an anchor baby, and then they can get a path to citizenship. It is a flawed system we need to correct. It was a terrible Supreme Court ruling. It's something that we need to deal with right now.
Path to citizenship, and now with the new mail-in voting rules, I can get my citizenship, go out of the country, and just vote for
never,
where I live, right?
Never come back to the United States, and you could vote and you could in our elections, and literally a foreign power could completely take us over. It'd be an 18-year invasion, but they could do it over a period of 18 years. All right, that's just one of the rulings. You picked the bad one to start with. We've got some good rulings out there, and we will cover some great things that are happening with the Supreme Court when we come back after this break.
Every day across the globe, big business agendas go unseen by investors. Things that go against your core values and beliefs. It's time to know your investments. Abortion. Alternative lifestyles. Gender and identity confusion. If you believe in protecting marriage and life, children, innocence, guarding masculinity, restoring families, defending religious liberty. Invest with your values. Before investing, carefully consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of the investment company. This and other important information can be found in the fund's prospectus. To obtain a copy, visit timothyplan.com or call 800-846-7526. Read each prospectus carefully before investing. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yeah, I'm joined with the great Mike Carter. We were just talking about that terrible birthright citizenship ruling that the court had.
Yeah, yeah. And you talked about a way to do it differently, the inverse of that, and how we potentially could have won that. This is where that doctor of science, CFA, economist is paying off. Give us that perspective. Oh, now, a little bit of attorney. I don't know if you have an attorney yet.
I'm not a lawyer. I did take the LSAT to go to law school, and the Lord called me out of that. And thank God he delivered me from it. But no, in the Elk ruling, we talked about Elk versus Wilkins, where they denied someone born on American soil that was a member of a native tribe, completely subject to the jurisdiction thereof, but they separated him. It's interesting because separate but equal was a ruling called Plessy versus Ferguson, where they said, well, you're black, you have your own black water fountains, and you have your own black schools, and as long as you have your own buses, as long as it's equal, then that's fine. We're fine with it. Everybody knows that was a stupid ruling. We believe in colorblind. And the guy that said colorblind constitution was Justice Harlan, who voted against Plessy versus Ferguson. He also voted against Elk versus Wilkins. He dissented from the majority opinion. And he said, no, this is ridiculous. And it was very clear to him, you're a Native American born on American soil. You're subject to the jurisdiction thereof. But it would be ridiculous to think that a drug cartel that takes over 2 miles inside the Texas border and builds up a hospital or drops a baby, has a baby born there, oh, no, that's a citizen. But the Native American, the Trump administration, I think, took the wrong path or approach. I've sent them a suggestion. I sent it to John Eastman and a few others. So, but let's talk about one that was good, that upheld that there is such a thing as a biological male and a biological female, and it's okay for biological males to compete in against males, but it's not okay for you to say, I feel like a woman today, and go compete in women's sports.
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty obvious. God made men, male and female, and we saw that blur, and we saw, really, I think a big part of this last election was around people coming to common sense that says, this makes no sense. I can't have someone with male muscles and testosterone competing against my daughter, who's eventually getting hurt out there, and now we finally have a ruling that says, hey, it's not right.
Yeah, actually what they said was a state has the ability and authority to say no men and women's sports. And they supported the state's right to do that. They didn't say that was true across the board, unfortunately, but they did fortunately give a state the right. So you can have a sane state and an insane state, which we have. And there are certain states that are barring men from entering women's sports. That's good for competition. That's good for America.
Good for America, but divides America again, because now we're seeing this separation of different states. That Igor Pandorum, you know, is America breaking apart with these kind of things?
Yeah, it is. But the reality of it is that we don't want the federal government to control everything that happens at every level in a state. We want the
state rights up to a point. I like that.
Yeah, and so we want this. If you don't like a state defining men and women's sports, now if they compete in the national level, they're not going to be able to compete in men and women's sports at the national level. So the NCAA, for example, hey, my state doesn't allow that. So when you go to the NCAA, hey, they're going to bar. Mm-hmm. And you know, we saw this, by the way, we saw this in the Olympics, and there were all kinds of shenanigans going on with the Soviet Union in the Olympics, where you wondered that weightlifter is not a woman. Yeah. Yeah. And you wondered about that. And we thought it was wrong then, and somehow, you know, the liberal mindset has gotten so the extremist progressive mindset has gotten so twisted that they think it's okay to allow a male to compete in a women's sport, and then they applaud it.
Yeah.
So the court ruled properly in this one, and I'm excited about that ruling, because if they had not done that, I think it would have been devastating. Women are the losers when you let men enter their sport.
So, it sounds like a good ruling. It's going to help rein in the deep state a little bit.
Yeah, it reins in the insanity. I mean, they basically affirm that there is a biological difference between male and female. And that's a good thing. It's a scientific thing. You know, all the people is it trust the science, trust the science, trust the science. You know, here we are trusting science. There's an X chromosome and a Y chromosome, and we can tell which is male and which is female.
Yeah. All right. Well, we'll say that's a win. I've got another topic here we're going to get into.
Yeah. All right. Right after the break, let's talk about, should the chief executive of the nation be able to fire people who are opposing him in implementing his policies? The court ruled favorably on this one. I think it's a great ruling. We'll cover it when we come back.
Gold holds its value far better than the U.S. dollar. Let's see what happens when I go in this sweet shop and pay with gold.
Can I pay with gold?
Find out how much it costs.
Do you know why I'm even using gold?
I do not.
It holds its value over time.
Yeah.
But it's a bit difficult to spend, isn't it? Do you take this?
Yes.
That's MasterCard. Yeah, but this is, I'm actually going to pay with gold, believe it or not. Using this. That's my MasterCard, and it's linked to my gold wallet. So let's just watch that. Authorizing. Yeah, add a tip.
Thank you.
So this is your store?
Yes, sir.
And how much gold did I pay?
0.2243 grams.
Yeah, success. Bought with gold, paid with glint.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
Yes, and I'm joined by the great Mike Carter, and we're having an in-depth discussion on Supreme Court rulings of late. I mean, they just hit one after another. It's like, you know, a news alert would pop up and say, the courts just ruled on this, and it was like watching a good World Cup match, not when the U.S. lost, but when the U.S. was winning, it was like, we scored a goal. Oh, we gave up a goal. Oh, we scored a goal. Oh, we gave up. You know, it's back and forth, almost like sport.
Yeah. Yeah, but when we look at this, and I think, you know, there were some wins on both sides of this. We still see the Democrats coming out and saying, we're going to stack the court. We can't have this. This is a lot of it sets up for this whole deep state bureaucracy to control things now.
They have promised if the Democrats get elected that they're going to move the court from the 9 justices we have to 21. 21, and they're going to pack the court. This
is
a very dangerous
thing. We might as well do one for
each
state. Shouldn't we have 50 of them then if we're going to go to 21?
Well, maybe two for each state. We'll call it the United States Senate.
Yeah.
All right. So, yes, there is another court case, Trump versus Slaughter, where essentially President Trump said, I have the right to fire officials in agencies that are under the authority and purview of the executive department. I mean,
you got to kind of appreciate that name, Trump versus Slaughter. Is he going to slaughter and get rid of everybody?
Well, he's getting rid of Slaughter. Yeah. So here's the thing is the founder said, we're going to set up three branches of government. We're going to have the legislative branch, so we're going to write the rules. Then we're going to have the executive branch, which is going to execute the rules. So it's like the board of directors giving the CEO and the management team ability to operate. And then we'll have a court that's going to come in and kind of just review and discuss and determine on things like that. The highest of those is the Congress. The chief executive has the most concentrated power. But then we set up all these bureaucracies and all these agencies.
Yeah.
And so the agencies get filled with people who want to continue the agency more than anything else. That's where their job security is. And so they work on that and budgets and all of that. And the chief executive gets elected and says, hey, look, the country doesn't want us going down this path any longer. So I want to put people in that are loyal to me, that are going to follow what I was elected to do. And the courts have in the past ruled, you can't do that.
Yeah.
And this is where we get the term deep state. They're so in there, so deep at that level that they control things. And no matter what the president says, he gets overruled or she gets overruled.
Yeah. But it's a big win in terms of creating change and balancing the power a little bit and avoiding those bureaucrats that are just voiding themselves jobs and security and no matter what happens out there.
If you have executive authority, you also have accountability to the people. Because you can get voted out or your party can get voted out. But if there's a bureaucracy that's permanent, whose sole purpose is to continue its own existence, then and you can't fire any of those people, that would be a bad ruling. We'll talk about in a few minutes how the Federal Reserve was kept out separate from this, the people that set our money supply.
Independence rule. But this Lisa Cook was kind of interesting. She's Federal Reserve. This is finance. And there's some mortgage fraud stuff in the back end?
Yeah, we'll get into that. But right now, I just wanted to draw that distinction.
Yeah.
The Supreme Court said in most agencies, the president has executive authority. And you can say, look, you're not fulfilling the purpose that I want here. I want you out. Federal Reserve, which is monetary policy, was set aside and put separate, and we'll talk about that. But the important thing here is biblical accountability. The economic impact is going to be good for us because we're going to be able to reduce bureaucracy, which means we're going to be able to reduce the workforce, reduce the debt. There is a balance. There is some independence. That practically for you as listeners, this is going to affect your everyday economic freedom, your job creation, and cost of living. It gives the voice back to the people, a government of the people, by the people, for the people. All of that is returned, that's restored under this court ruling. There won't be the EPA from now on saying, I'm the EPA and there's nothing you can do about it, or the IRS or whatever. The president has authority over those agencies.
Yeah, I remember some of the Dodge people were laid off. That was the most horrible thing ever. Well, welcome to the real world if you're not in the government sector.
You mean the the Department of Government Efficiency. Talk about oxymoronic, government efficiency. Yeah. But they were working at it, and literally they cut out some serious amounts of money out of our budget, which is a good thing. All right, we had a good ruling. It's going to hurt the deep state. It's going to give you authority and voice back again. We've got another ruling. We'll cover it when we come back after this break.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman, helping you unpack the economic headlines and providing real money solutions.
And I'm joined by with Mike Carter here, and we're talking about the Supreme Court rulings. You probably heard a lot about these court rulings. The first one we covered was birthright citizenship, the idea that literally the Chinese billionaires can have surrogacy. They can fly an American, fly in and be with an American, pay for an apartment, have a baby, and then that take the baby home under a contract or an agreement and raise it, and that's an American, come back in 18 years and start voting. So that's a bad thing. The ruling was a poor ruling, in my opinion. Then we covered the second one, which was a good ruling, which was that men are men and women are women, and men should not be competing in women's sports, and a state has a right to say you can't do that. That was a good rule. Third ruling we discussed was, does the president have executive authority and can fire people that are running contrary to the policies he was voted to bring in? And the answer is yes, according to the Supreme Court. Another good ruling. Here's one that is a mixed bag in some sense. It's a mixed bag in that I agree that we need to have money that is sound and away from presidential influence, but on the other hand, I don't like the idea that there's an independent agency out there accountable to no one that's able to do, literally control our money supply.
Yeah, concerning. Good reason for transactional gold. But I remember a young Kevin Freeman that always said, if I went into politics, I don't know if you call it politics even because it's independent, but I'd rather be chair of the Federal Reserve than president of the United States. What's your perspective on this ruling,
that,
Kevin?
That is true. All right, so the ruling is regarding Lisa Cook. Lisa Cook is a member of the Fed Board of Governors, and Lisa Cook was noticed as having done what some people would term mortgage fraud. Now, it's not been ruled on. It's just alleged and all that. But essentially, it sounds like and it seems like that she was claiming income or she was claiming residency or whatever on a mortgage application. By the way, a lot of Americans did this. They were called liar loans. Do you remember that? I'm making $500 million a year. Oh, sir, you can buy whatever house you want. And they'd no doc loans is what they call them, but they called them liar loans. And so it looks like she may have participated in that. And you don't want somebody that's running the Federal Reserve having lied on mortgage applications. So if that's the case, then they're
voting on interest rates, but working the system at the same time. And again, we don't know exactly what all happened there, but something seems suspicious.
So, and Trump went after her. She probably made some anti-Trump, I know she did. She made some anti-Trump statements. It was like, punish her. And he got mad at Jerome Powell and punish him. But the reality of it is the Federal Reserve is so independent that they were building this massive building, billions of dollars on a reconstruction.
I do want to see that. How do you spend that much money on that building, and what's it look like? Hopefully we'll get a chance to see it.
Yeah, no, it's outrageous, and everybody's defending that, and the president wants to build a ballroom, and everybody, you can't build a ballroom. No. We need a ballroom. Does the Federal Reserve really need a multi-billion dollar renovation of an existing building? Anyway, so the president goes against him and he says, look, I'm going to fire her. She sues. She wins. In the Supreme Court, they didn't say she keeps her job. They didn't say the investigation stops, but they did say the president can't fire her. The Fed is unique and independent and does not have the ability to be under and there's an aspect to that I agree with.
But if he finds reason, if they find that there is something suspicious in this mortgage thing, then he has the authority?
They didn't really clarify that, but the Justice Department would have the ability to remove somebody who's committed fraud. They would be able to get a conviction, and that would likely remove Lisa Cook. But here's the bigger principle. The principle is the independence of the Fed. Federal Reserve determines our interest rates. The Federal Reserve determines how much money we create. We use the term print, but it's literally digitally created. And we've shown the videos before.
Yeah, not printed, digitally created in thin air.
And there's no end to your ability to do that. Yeah. That was a 60 Minutes interview of the Fed chair, and there's no end to our ability. In other words, we can create as much money as we want, when we want, how we want, and we're accountable to no one.
Right.
That's a bad thing.
Well, we've seen that as we talk all the time. The dollar's lost 90% of its value as we keep printing more and more money out there.
But a worse thing would be the president gets in and says, hey, look, I want to get reelected, so create a whole lot of money, a whole lot of feel-good money that we'll pay for later in inflation. Just create it. Just make as much of it as you can. And if you don't, I'll fire you.
Yeah.
We don't want a money supply that is dependent on politics, because it will always end in disaster. Every nation that has had the chief executive or the dictator or whoever able to print as much money as they wanted, they spend it, they print it, they spend it, they get rich from it, from the Cantillon effect. And that's what happened in Venezuela. Hugo Chavez did it. He ended up a billionaire. As soon as he printed it, he bought U.S. assets with it, or U.S. dollar items with it. And his family was protected. So when he died, his daughter's worth $1 billion, or $4 billion, actually. But the people suffered, and the printed currency lies in the streets, not worth anything, you know, getting trampled upon. So we don't want that. And I there's a chart you can see, inflation through the Fed chairs. Arthur Burns did that for Johnson, and as a result, inflation hit 13.5%. Johnson said, I want a great society. We're going to have a Vietnam War. Print me a lot of money. And they did, and it created a massive amount of inflation. Paul Volcker came in late in Carter administration, but worked with Reagan, brought inflation down to the lower levels that we have today. When you politicize the chair of the Federal Reserve or the Federal Reserve itself, it's very dangerous for the American people.
I was interested, just looking at that chart, it's interesting. Powell, it's showing 8%. Is that the peak or during the whole time right now from 2020? Because I thought inflation
was
higher.
Peak. Okay. That was the peak. It actually got to 9.6% on the highest measure. But looking quarter by quarter or annualized percentage looking forward, they showed 8% peak under Powell. But I want to point out something in the middle here is Alan Greenspan. Mm-hmm. He was the longest serving Fed chairman in this chart. And during the Greenspan reign, we had reasonably low inflation, but he created a whole lot of money. How did he do that?
How did he do that? I don't know. I was under the impression we somehow grew our way through that, but there was the spike in interest rates.
That was under Volcker.
Right.
Right.
And then he came in and kind of benefited from that. But it looks like at that chart, he kept it that, as close as we can keep it at 1% to 2%. We're doing good.
He kept it low. Here's how he did it. He walked in as a very strong advocate of a gold standard. And he told the world he was a strong advocate of a gold standard. But whenever he needed to run the printing presses, he ran them. And he ran them hard. But the public believed.
Wow.
So they had confidence in the dollar. As long as you have confidence in the dollar, you can print as much as you want. There was a king dollar policy under Reagan. You can print as much as you want and get away with it for a little while.
Yeah.
And then when people realize what's happened, then all of a sudden you wake up in a panic. Greenspan talked a good game. He came in promising a good game, and yet he did not do. I mean, he just passed away. He's 100 years old. He got literally captured by the deep state. He married one of the top journalists in the world, and he got to go to all the parties and so forth. He really was like the perfect poster child for talking the talk and not walking the walk.
Yeah.
And then that result is the people gave him a pass, and we did not see the massive inflation.
But that perception of being based on the gold helped keep it down. That's interesting. So perception is reality until reality really hits. It's like, oh, there's no.
So
there's
we
no
had
gold
inflation.
There.
The inflation just went into asset prices as opposed to consumer prices. That's why the stock market ran so much under Greenspan. And it created a bubble. And 1987, we had a crash. I mean, I lived through this in the early parts of our career was what Greenspan was doing. We no longer have that confidence around the world in the dollar. We no longer have that. We could never pull that off again.
Yeah.
So now we need to have a Federal Reserve that has some level of independence. But even better than that, we need to go back to an optional gold standard to where people can protect their money.
All right. You're talking my language now.
So. All right. Support for this program comes from Glint's Financial Technology Service, offering a debit card and a mobile app that enables users to access gold holdings for everyday purchases. With Glint, users maintain ownership of allocated physical gold, which is stored as in a managed vault. At the time of a transaction, gold is sold in real time to cover the purchase amount in local currency. Glint offers an alternative way to store and use the value, combining gold and silver with modern payment infrastructure. Glint clients can monitor their gold balance, view transaction history, and manage their accounts through the Glint app, available on major mobile platforms. More details about how vaulted physical gold can be used as money are available at glintpay.com/gold247. Again, that's glintpay.com/gold247. Glint providing access to gold for modern spending. Now, look, we're going to have to cover more of this discussion, carry on this Federal Reserve issue when we come back from after the break, because we have a new chairman of the Federal Reserve, and it's something that we need to understand and the impact on gold prices. We'll cover this, Mike, when we come back right after this break.
I'm outside Babe's, which I'm told is the quintessential chicken restaurant here in Roanoke, Texas. Let's go and see if we can buy the food in here, chicken with gold.
This is gonna be the fried chicken.
This is unbelievable. How am I gonna fit all this in? I seriously actually don't know how to begin with this. This is so overwhelming.
Do
you think I can pay with gold?
I don't know, you may have to ask the cashier. I don't handle it.
Can I pay with gold? But actually, you said I could pay with this? Okay, I'm gonna pay with this, but I'm gonna pay with gold. So look at the price of gold going up. That's pretty cool, yeah? Right, this is Babe's, yeah? How much gold did I pay? Gold, how many grams?
0.26.
0.26, quarter of a gram of gold. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
That's pretty cool, yeah.
Success! Bought with gold, paid with Glint.
Some wireless companies say that they stand for something. What exactly do they stand for, and why won't they say it out loud? Let me tell you what Patriot Mobile stands for. They stand for the lives of the unborn. They stand for the Second Amendment and the right to protect yourself and your family. They stand for our veterans and first responders who sacrifice so much for our freedom. Make the switch to Patriot Mobile today and support a company that doesn't just say they stand for something, but one that stands for the things that matter the most.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
I'm joined by the great Mike Carter. We're talking transactional gold and silver. I know Mike lights up every time we talk about that because he's led the charge. Now, six states and Florida is already, it's legal now in Florida with the rules.
Florida became law. Texas is getting ready as we go into 2027 with theirs, but processes are being put in place to make sure vaults are set up, systems are working. Exciting to see it move into implementation right
now. And it's endorsed by the incoming comptroller appointed by Governor Greg Abbott.
Don Huffines.
And he will be interim comptroller starting August 1st.
Yeah.
And he's endorsed and supported in support of transactional gold and silver. So we're seeing alternatives set up. But the price of gold dropped. It was $5,500 an ounce, and people are asking, why has it gone down from $5,589 an ounce to around $4,000?
Well, it certainly was scary when we saw both gold and silver spiking. You know, we typically see gold as a steady store of value. You see them both going straight up. You're like, what's really wrong out there? So in a sense, there's some relief here. But Kevin, with your background in economics and CFA, I wanted to get that perspective of, you know, with Warsh coming in now, what does that mean? And how does that impact gold? What's that look like?
So the new Fed chairman is Kevin Warsh. It could have been Kevin Hassett.
Warsh, it's silent R. Is that what it is? Warsh.
Warsh.
Warsh, Warsh, okay.
I don't know. It's George
Washington.
We got to get that down. George Washington.
That sounds like
George Washington. I don't know. Kevin Warsh is now the chairman of the Federal Reserve. He's a Trump pick. Interestingly enough, he came in like Greenspan with a solid, I believe in sound money, I'm going to defend. And actually, the fact that he came in is perhaps the single greatest reason that the price of gold dropped, is we now have credibility back at the Federal Reserve. Maybe they're not going to just keep producing excess amounts of money. Trump said, I put him in, I trust him, and there's Fed independence, and he's not pressuring him to produce a whole lot of money. So that's the single greatest reason. When they announced that he was coming in, and then when he actually came in, are the big drop days for gold. And that is giving, if the dollar's credible, then we don't need gold at $6,000 an ounce. Mm-hmm. That's the key issue. Is the dollar credible? The dollar's credibility went up with his coming into the Federal Reserve. The dollar's credibility is enhanced with this ruling from Lisa Cook. So maybe, perhaps, we've got a good Federal Reserve for a little while.
That's good. Maybe we got a little bit of that perception we saw in that other cycle there. Maybe there's a little bit of reality, but at the same time, we're seeing central banks still hoard a lot of gold.
They are buying gold because a long term, the dollar's lost 90% of its value, its purchasing power over the last 50 plus years. Bottom line is this, is that it's good to have an option. People should have a choice.
Yeah.
In how they do gold. And transactional gold, we cover it all the time on this program. We won't dive too much into it because we got to cover this other Supreme Court ruling. What'd you think of the mail-in ballot?
That was another big disappointment for me. I was actually crushed by that because I don't see how you can just arbitrarily say, well, just let the votes keep coming in. We've got the count now. What everybody voted today, let's see though what happens with the mail-in ballots. And it just seems like we're setting ourselves up for failure once again.
The Supreme Court tried to divide the baby in a Solomon-like ruling and say, well, if a state says that it gets counted, if it's postmarked on, look, if you can go to the post office and get it postmarked, maybe you ought to be able to go and vote in person. I don't like the idea because you can literally ballot harvest with mail-in ballots, and you can fake them and everything else, and you count them for up to 5 days. Look, here in America, I want to know who won when I wake up the next morning.
Yeah.
Or if I stay awake all night, I
and other countries are doing the same thing. Many of them are saying, hey, forget the mail-in part. Let's make sure that we've got an actual legal, accountable way to do this, but we continue to go down this path of let's keep mailing ballots in until we get the numbers we want, I'm afraid. At least that's my perception, and I think we're seeing data that supports that there's room for fraud there.
There is room for fraud. There are the postal workers. Here's one, WSFA 12, postal worker pleads guilty after hundreds of pieces of undelivered mail found in his apartment. Yeah. Postal carrier tosses 1,200 pieces of mail in a dumpster, stops going to work, Fred say. I mean, we cannot have Newman from Seinfeld controlling our elections. My grandfather was a postal worker. He wasn't a citizen until the Indian Citizenship Act, but his career was spent after he served in the military as a postal worker. Bad ruling by the court. We need to have people going and voting like the Constitution prescribes. All right, we've got another call to action coming up when we get back right after this break. We'll be back, Mike, covering this.
Washington said paper money opens the door to every species of fraud and injustice. Jefferson said paper is poverty. Hamilton said to emit an unfunded paper as the sign of value ought not to continue a formal part of the Constitution. The founders hated paper money, so they put a pirate money clause in the Constitution for our state to use. Learn more at transactionalgold.com.
Pirate Money Radio, helping you give, spend, and invest in ways that align with liberty, security, and values. Welcome back with your host, Kevin Freeman.
We've been talking Supreme Court rulings, and there are a lot of them. They come rapid fire at the end of a session, and then they take a break until October. And so they'll go on vacations and see what the people think of their rulings. And it's a mixed bag with this court, but that's so much better than it's been in past years where it was bad ruling, bad ruling, bad ruling, bad ruling. Here we actually had some wins. And Mike, let's concentrate. Let's think on the good things first. What are the goods that we saw here?
I mean, we're seeing, I guess if I were to stand back, even if I were a liberal Democrat, I could look at some of this and say, well, Supreme Court is trying to be fair and balanced. Now, I don't know if I want that. I want the Supreme Court to do what the Constitution says. But you would think that would say, all right, let's come together. Let's trust the system and what's working here. But instead, this isn't on the encouraging part. I hear let's add 21 Supreme Court justices. Let's make this happen on the other side. That breaks my heart a little. We just had our 250th anniversary. And I think of how great this country is and how many good things are happening out there and how God has maybe given us a chance at this thing. But, you know, it comes down to what we've talked about since we started Economic War Room at 2 Chronicles 7:14. And I do believe that if my people will humble themselves and pray and do away with their sins,
seek his face, turn from their wicked ways,
yeah, he'll restore their land. And so I believe there's a chance for that. But I believe as Americans, we've got to really get serious about that. Get on our knees. We're seeing some wins, but a lot of work to do on America still.
Now, the wins are big. The wins are that a state can say that a man is not a woman and therefore cannot compete in women's sports. That's a huge win. And that's going to open the door for other wins, other things that will come up. There was another win is that the president of the United States can actually make his administration follow the policies he was elected to implement. And that's a big win. The mixed, what's in between, I do like the idea that the Federal Reserve can have independence from the president and they set money supply and should not be a political animal. I don't like the fact that they have so much independence that they can literally make or break your financial future. They can determine, oh, we're just going to create so much money that we're going to run inflation up. I do not like the birthright citizenship case because it literally says that that anybody born here illegally can be a citizen. And that's driven your house prices up. That's risk for the future for China to exploit our system or for drug cartels to exploit our system. I don't like that ruling. I think that's a bad ruling. And I don't like the mail-in ballot ruling, although I do like the fact that there is a limit, 5 days. I think that we should have Election Day that it has to have arrived and be counted, arrived by Election Day. And be counted. So there are some improvements there. But overall, it's not a terrible court, and these rulings are not bad, and we've got reason to thank God, and we should focus, I think, on the good. Whatever mm-hmm. things are good, whatever things are lovely, and then work to fix the things that aren't good.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that was a great recap, Kevin. It's hard to keep up with all the news out there, and then you got soccer tournaments and 4th of July in the middle. But again, really appreciate your perspective as that CFA, as the doctor of science now. As an economist, you know, what do these rulings mean? How do they apply to us? Great job of breaking that down into my quick kind of summarized version of what's happening, and there's reason for hope.
There is reason for hope, and even the rulings where we lost were close.
Yeah,
birthright citizenship was not a pure 6-3 as they're claiming. It really was a 5-3-1. There was one in there that was like, well, you know, the Congress could get in and fix this. And I agree with that. And that is the solution. We've got to elect representatives that will say, no, a citizen is someone that is subject to the jurisdiction thereof when born, and an illegal alien is not one of those, or someone here on tourism, you know, send your bride here to enjoy a spa vacation and at a special birthing center. That's not an actual citizen. But we have a sovereign God, and God created nations, and we have a chance. 250 years we've lived as a nation, and we've got another 250 more if we return to God's principle. So I love and appreciate what you just said there about 2 Chronicles 7:14.
Yeah, no, that's our hope, and God's given us this beautiful country and this freedom and this liberty. You know, we are all about protecting liberty, security, and values. And I'm glad we're protecting them, not just trying to get them. But we got to stand together as Americans to make that happen.
We do. All right. Well, thank you for sailing with us. If you have been a part of the Real Life Network and you're viewing us, we're going to say goodbye. Visit piratemoneyradio.com for more. But if you're with American Family Radio, stick with us. We've got one more segment. Stay faithful and stay free. Here's a $10 bill. It's got the picture of Alexander Hamilton on the front of it. You know, it's kind of sad. When I was 10 years old, everything that I could buy for a dollar now costs about $10. That's the cost of inflation. It's just paper. It's not backed by anything. You can't exchange it for gold and silver. You used to, but you can't do that anymore. And that's unfortunate. You know, pirates wouldn't accept this. Pirates, they wanted gold and silver. Patriots, the founders of this nation, also wanted gold and silver coin. In fact, they put a provision in the Constitution, 17 words, that said states could only make gold and silver coins tender within the states. That's why I wrote this new book, Pirate Money, Discovering the Founders' Hidden Plan for Economic Justice and Defeating the Great Reset. It will explain exactly the history of money and exactly why gold and silver coins can be made modern with new technology and a useful monetary system. PirateMoneyBook.com.
Welcome back to Pirate Money Radio with your host, Kevin Freeman.
And Mike, we've been talking about the Supreme Court rulings. I want to know, what gives you the greatest hope for America right now?
I think we talked on it a little bit earlier. I mean, the hope that, you know, we have liberty, security, and values. We're not trying to get them, but we got to defend them. And I'm seeing more and more Americans waking up a little bit. I think even with this birthright citizenship, the talk of how do we make this a constitutional amendment? Maybe there's a little bit more awareness of what's going on. There's legislators, senators, and
yeah, congressmen. Brian Harrison here has got an
looking,
idea in
looking
Texas.
For solutions to say, hey, how do we drive this home? So Senator Brian Harris is talking about not honoring a birthright, a birth certificate if you're born illegally here at a state level. So as people become more and more aware of what this means, because I think there's been a lot of unawareness on topics like that, of the fact that literally you can have someone come in, have a baby, go back, re-educate in China, bring communist principles, and then they get to vote. At some point, even logically minded people on both sides of the aisle have to say, this isn't right.
They don't just get to vote. They get to sponsor their relatives and bring them in. And literally it's an invasion by immigration.
Yeah.
Immigration without assimilation is invasion. We talk about that. And I want you all to know, we're actually we're advocacy. We're actually out there. The people behind Pirate Money Radio are actually out there making a difference. I've been in touch with John Eastman, who helped the president with his suit on birthright citizenship. I've been in touch with people in the administration, people in Congress, people in the state legislature to try and find solutions for this. I mean, when you're listening to this radio program, you're actually listening to two advocates working on things like transactional gold and silver. And I saw the movie, and I know, Mike, you saw it too, the Great Awakening movie, and you see Dr. Benjamin Franklin at the Constitutional Convention, and he's staring at a chair, and the chair's got a sun on it. And he says, Washington asks him, what are you staring at? And he says, I'm trying to decide whether that sun is rising or setting on America. Mm-hmm. And that was one of those tumultuous times. And you know what they did? They turned to prayer.
Yep.
And it proved, because they were praying, it was a rising sun. We have that same opportunity at 250 years today.
Yeah. Let's get back to prayer. Let's get the rising sun. Let's protect what we have. Let's be thankful for what God's given us, because there's no other place like this.
Yeah, the sun, S-U-N, is rising, but the sun, S-O-N, has risen.
That's right.
He is risen indeed.
Yes.
And so we're able to celebrate that, even with flawed court rulings. Look, they're not resounding defeats. We actually have a path forward as a nation. We can live and fight another day, maybe another 250 years, to give it to our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and to all posterity and the future of the world, we can leave a blessed America. Well, if you have questions, if you have prayer needs, if you have comments, email us at afr@piratemoneyradio.com. And we need to pray for America to return to God's principles, for wisdom in our courts, protection of the vulnerable, and sound stewardship of our nation and resources. Pray for our leaders and for revival in this country. Listen to us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Spotify, wherever, and share this with your friends. Check out piratemoneyradio.com. This is Kevin Freeman and Mike Carter. We're pleased to bring you Pirate Money Radio every week. God bless you.